Thank you, scripture readers. Shalom, Havarim. Hello, friends. Oh, you're all wide awake and ready for this one today. As you know, I sometimes start with a joke. Actually, I pretty much always start with a joke. And sometimes I get called, I'm telling dad jokes. Have you heard this phrase before? They're called dad jokes. And I've wondered, when does a joke become a dad joke? A joke turns into a dad joke when the punchline becomes apparent. Yeah, I know. Okay. So some people would say they're not dad jokes, they're actually bad jokes. You know the difference between when does a bad joke become a dad joke? Or how do you make a bad joke a dad joke? You just change the first letter. Okay, we'll stick with the last one. Actually, I have one more. So, as you know, I can be a little bit adventurous. I like to do outdoorsy kind of things. I like to get outside, get some fresh air. And the kids asked me, Dad, what do you want to do this year for Father's Day? And I said, this year, more than anything else, I want to go swimming with the sharks. And they looked into this. And swimming with sharks, you know, people do this. You see it on TV. Swimming with sharks is something you can actually go and do, but it's extremely expensive to do. My children looked into it. Do you know how expensive it is to go swimming with the sharks? Do you know how much it'll cost you? It'll cost you an arm and a leg. My day, don't steal my punchlines. All right, so it is good to be back with you here today. Thank you to everybody that helped out last week. Good to hear from the Reverend Dr. Burl Jancy last week. Thank you to everybody that helped with the service in one way or another. Sonia, the children, and I, we all made a trip. We went to Indiana for a family reunion and then to Ohio to spend some time with my family. And this is absolutely true. I am not changing this or making this story up at all. This is really the way it went down because Ohio, rural Ohio, is just that exciting. I don't even have to fabricate it. I don't have to make this up. This is real. Because no trip to Ohio is complete without a visit from the police. Been there, huh? No, okay, so we are in Ohio. We go back to Ohio on Sunday, and Sunday evening, Monday morning, at about, I guess it's 1:45 a.m., I'm in my childhood bedroom, sleeping in my childhood bed, and I'm woken in the middle of the night, 1:45, by headlights shining in my window. My parents live back off the road by a tenth of a mile. It's a farm country house. So they're back off the road, and it's not uncommon for people to be driving by, and they realize they missed a turn, so they would turn around in this driveway, not thinking they're interrupting or disturbing anybody. So it's frequent for cars to turn around in the middle of the night, but my parents being back a tenth of a mile, nobody ever comes back the driveway. And the problem was, at 1:45, there was a car sitting right in front of our house, with the lights on. And I look outside, it's not only the headlights, they have like a light bar across the top. So it is extremely bright, shining into my bedroom, waking me, and I guess nobody else in my room, but everybody, waking me up. And I'm looking out the window, and it's like, again, it's not uncommon for people to turn around, but this car is just sitting there. And I'm waiting, and I'm watching. And I wait a little bit longer, and I see nothing but headlights. After a little bit, I hear the front door open, and out walks my dad. My dad will be 70 years old the end of this year, so he's still a young man, but he gets up, he walks out the front door, and he walks over to the car, and I'm like, oh great, here's my dad, almost 70 years old, about to get involved in a drug deal gone wrong, something like that. But it wasn't a drug deal gone wrong. Instead, the door of the car opened up, and out steps the local sheriff. What you do, rural Ohio, almost 2 a.m. in the morning. My dad and the sheriff start having a conversation. I'm like, oh my goodness, why is the sheriff here? 2 in the morning, having a conversation in the front lawn with my father. And just then, as they're having this conversation, I see a shifty shadow pass by. And then another one. And then 29 more shifty shadows pass by. And at that time, I realize, the cows are out. Never a dull moment in rural Ohio. But it was not my dad's cows. It was the neighbor's cows. He was able to put together, based on their ear tags and the style of ear tag that they had, that these were not our cows. These were Jim's cows. They had come from across the road. And what had happened was the sheriffs, they traced this herd of cattle. There were about 31 cattle. I counted 31 in my like half-awoken stupor. 31 cattle. They chased down one road, turned, made a right turn, then turned into my parents' drive, assuming that they got out from my parents' house. I don't know why they assumed they were my parents. Not like it hasn't happened before. They chased them back in there, and then my dad says, "Those aren't our cows. Those are Jim's." So my dad had the wherewithal, had the clarity of mind after a little bit of time to pick up the phone, call neighbor Jim, and they came over on their four-wheelers and saved the day. Woo! And I said, there's never a dull moment in rural Ohio. The very next night, there was an electrical storm. Knocked out electric to much of the southern part of Wayne County, Ohio. And I'm hearing some people still don't have electric. The same night, knocked out electric at a sewage processing plant in southern Wayne County. And I guess that the things that the fans that vent the methane also weren't working. And in that night, one night after the police show up at my parents' house, the sewage processing plant actually blew up. There was an explosion in rural Wayne County, Ohio. I can't make this stuff up, people. This really happened. If you're waiting for a punchline, that's all there is. I could make up some punchlines to that, but we'll save that for another time and place. But why do I tell that story other than I find it somewhat interesting and like I have to work it in somehow? I work it in because my dad was the hero. When things were not real certain, when I wasn't sure just what was going down, as I feared this drug deal gone bad taking place in my parents' driveway, it was my father, almost 70 years old, that comes forth, cell phone in hand, willing to face whatever person was standing out there and make sure those cows got back where they belonged. My father was the hero of the night, especially because I didn't have to put on shoes and go out and chase cows. If you've ever been there, you know. Well, today we talk a little bit about fathers because it is Father's Day. And I realize that this isn't necessarily an easy day for many people here. And many people around the globe realize that this is kind of a tough time. Some people really want to be fathers, and they haven't been able to be. Some people had really bad fathers or really bad relationships with their fathers, and they just can't imagine celebrating them today or any other day. And I realize that many people here have lost their fathers. So before we go any further, I just want to recognize that this is not an easy time for many people. But what I also want to do is recognize that even if you had the worst father in the world, a father who was never there, a father who was never around, a father that abused you verbally or physically, remember that you have a perfect Father in heaven as well. And today I want to look at this idea of God as Father to better understand as how we as earthly fathers can relate to our children. But it's not just for the men today. Women, you don't get a chance to check out or take a nap. Are you listening to Sarah Dell? I'm going to speak to you too. It's also how we as human beings can relate to another. So we're going to look at some of these stories, these scriptures that the children read for us today, to understand just who our God the Father really is. Okay, so before we go any further, I want you to just kind of yell out some names for me. Like names that we associate with God. God's like nicknames or ways we refer to God that you find, especially in the Old Testament. What words or names do you find for God in the Bible? Yell them out. Yahweh, Creator, God Almighty. There are good ones. I have just, I think, seven or so here on the screen. Some of the ones that I thought of. Mostly Old Testament references. Some of these will also be found in the New Testament. Creator, someone said. God Most High. God Almighty. El Shaddai. Lord. The Hebrew word is Adonai. Yahweh, or the older translation might be Jehovah. Sometimes we hear God referred to as Jehovah Jireh, or simply loving God. Like I said, these can all be found in the Old Testament, but they also cross over into the New. Now, one of the things that we often associate with God when we read through the New Testament is the metaphor of God as Father. But I realize as I start looking at these references for God as Father that that's not exclusively found in the New Testament. It's also found in the Old. These are all different titles and attributes of God. Isaiah 63:16b says this, "You, Lord, are our Father. Our Redeemer from old is our Redeemer from old is your name." Now, some people are going to stumble a little bit when I refer to that as a metaphor. Like, what does that really mean? But think about it like this. God is not your physical father here on earth. We all have fathers of some sort. You name them, right? You call them out, the kids. You were calling out the father, your father's names as you sat up here this morning. My father's name is Edward. I have a physical father. He chases cows at 2 a.m. in the morning. So this is a metaphor that God is in some way like the perfect father to us. And I wanted to say with this list, many of the things that we use to refer to God are either a title or some sort of attribute about God. So when I refer to God as a loving God, God is loving, so we can refer to this God as our loving God. The attributes of God, and then the titles like God Almighty or El Shaddai, God Most High. These were often given to God in the Old Testament to kind of differentiate between the God that the Israelites were worshiping and the many other gods that the people around them, the pagans, were worshiping. So they're like saying, you know, you may worship, I don't know, Baal or Marduk, but we worship God Almighty. It's like, yeah, you got these little gods, these little godless, but you know what? We worship the Almighty God. So titles and attributes and metaphors to help us better understand who God is. Now, for us today, we aren't trying to differentiate as much as the people in the Old Testament were, when we start to name God as Father or God Most High. For us, I think when we try to name God in some way or another or give an attribute of God, we're doing so because we need to have a mental image of this deity that we're praying to. So we form that in our mind. So what I flashed up there. Calling God isn't unique to the New Testament, but it does become the primary metaphor for God in the New Testament. As we go on through the New Testament, we see that Jesus continually uses this metaphor, referring to God as his father. Now, I don't think that God is Jesus' father in the same way that Edward is my father, but there's some sort of special relationship that we find there. Now, I realized at this time that there are many people who have a difficult time thinking of God as father. And as I opened up this morning, I kind of said there's some names that aren't necessarily helpful for you for various reasons. And I realize that some people here just don't have a good relationship with your father. Don't raise your hand. I see your hand, Garrett. No. Some people just don't have good relationships with their father. Some parents had like really bad experience with their children. Children have bad experience with their parents. Maybe your father was abusive. Maybe your father hit you. Maybe your father just was absent. Maybe he was a bum. And it's really difficult to think of God as Father because you can't worship that guy. So I want to say this morning, if you find it difficult to think of God as Father, there's good news. You don't have to. There's many different words that we can use to think of God, to form that image in our mind. And some of you threw out some of those ideas. Here's just a few of the options of words that you can use to think of God. As you begin praying and you're trying to imagine who God is, you can think of God as a king. If it's helpful, you can think of God as all-powerful. You can think of God as love. You can think of God as creator. Our God who is comforter. Our God who is light. Our God who is strength. I even found on this list, I was just kind of going through, and one of them says, our God who is incorporeal. Let's be honest, how many of you think of God as incorporeal? I imagine sitting down to pray one day, like before lunch, and you're holding hands with your family, like, dear God who is incorporeal, we give you thanks today for all that you've done for us. I don't know why I pray in like a southern accent when I do. If that's not helpful for you to think of God as a father, don't feel like you have to. There's so many different images, so many different biblical examples of ways that we can think of God. And that's just the English version. Like, if you want to go through other languages, you think of all these, Spanish that we read earlier, or German, which I butchered We can think of these different languages. Guess what? God answers to all of them. As I started thinking about speaking of God as Father, I realized that God doesn't really care how we address Him. I think the words that we use to address God are more for us, to form our understanding of who God is, to form our concept of the divine. So I'll say it again, and I'm going to say it many more times. If thinking of God as Father is not helpful for you, for whatever reason, feel free to start picking from this list. I think it's helpful to have some sort of image, but it doesn't have to be that of God as a Father. So when I started thinking of God as Father, I'm coming up with ideas. What am I going to preach about today? I try to come up with some alliteration. You know what alliteration is when everything starts with the same letter? And that preaches really well. I tried to come up with P words to describe God as Father. And I realized that as I say that, when Jesus was on earth and he referred to God as Father, father kind of relationships with their parents were different today, so this might also apply to mothers. Please don't think of this as sexist. But the three P's that I thought of for God as Father were protector, provider, and personable. God the Father is our protector. God the Father is our provider. God the Father is personable. As I started writing this sermon and tried to incorporate my story about the cows getting out at 2 a.m., I realized I didn't have time to cover all three P's, so we're just going to focus on that last one here this morning. I think one of the most essential reasons, or one of the most important reasons to focus on God as Father is because God is personable. God is relatable. So let's explore this a little bit more. Now, I had three different scriptures read this morning. Thank you again for the four children that read those today on this Father's Day. And did you notice any words repeated in those passages? Abba. The word Abba was used three different times. And of course, that is a reference to the 1970s disco group. Now, seriously, you cannot search on Google Abba without coming, like, this is the first thing that comes up, is this group. And then everybody gets a song in their head, you know, Dancing Queen, You Can Dance, You Can Jive. Oh, Marlene's plugging her ears. You're having the time of your life. Okay, now I sing it for you, but nobody wants that. Abba, the dancing, the musical group, though, I looked into it. Do you know why they're called Abba? It's simply... I just learned this yesterday. The initials of their first name, this is, I think they're from Sweden. The initials, the first letter of their first name is like Alex, Brianna, Barb, and Alex. And they're just put in a palindrome, so it's the same forward and backward. So I think it's amazing that when Jesus called God Abba almost 2,000 years ago, that he had this group in mind. And he had that foresight. No, it's totally unrelated. So I had them read three different passages, three different scriptures, where Jesus refers to God as Abba. And these are the only three times in the entire Bible where that word is used. But what does it even mean? Well, we notice as we work through this passage that every time that the Bible uses the word Abba, it's immediately followed by another word. Did you notice that? It always says Abba, Father. Now, the reason that Abba is not translated in our Bibles is that was originally in the language of Aramaic. The people would have gone to the temple, they would have spoken Hebrew in the temple, they would have read their Bibles in Hebrew. And when they went to kind of an academic setting where they wrote books and stuff like that, they wrote in Greek. But as the people interacted with each other day after day in the world around them, they spoke Aramaic. Now, there's only a couple of times throughout the Bible that Aramaic words are used, and they are usually not translated. They're just left untranslated. One of the other examples you might find is when Jesus dies and he raises again from the grave. Mary goes to his grave and she sees him and she calls him Rabboni. Everybody say Rabboni. Why is that left untranslated? Well, because it's not in the traditional Greek or Hebrew. It is in Aramaic. And then every time the Aramaic is used, it is translated immediately afterwards. So when Mary calls Jesus Rabboni, it says, which means teacher. So here we have the word Abba. Abba used three different times in these three different passages. And each time it says Abba, comma, Father. But Father is not the direct translation of this word. It'd be kind of weird just to say Father twice, wouldn't it? Like if I looked at you and said, Happy Father's Day, or my father is called Edward. You know, that's just weird. What the word Abba does is it modifies the word Father. It nuances it a bit. Now, the Greek word for father is pater, and that's where we get words like paternalism and paternalistic or paternity test, the Greek word pater. So why do we have this word untranslated in Aramaic to give us a little bit of more feeling of what the word father is meaning in this situation? So when I start thinking about these passages, I immediately go back to old television shows. Or I go back to, like, British movies. Roger, correct me if I'm wrong here, okay? Old television shows or British movies, you see kids sitting around, and they're having conversations with their parents. And in these old television shows, how do the kids refer to their parents? What do they call them? Father. Or British television, you call them father. Or mother. Now, I've been around for 42 years, and I think that I have probably addressed my parents as father and mother maybe zero times. How many of you here, unless you're British, refer to your parents as father or mother? Like, can you imagine coming up to your father and saying, please, father, would you like to go with me to a ball game? And, mother, may I have another serving, please? You know, it sounds very proper and awkward, doesn't it? What do you call your father? Yell it out. Dad, or something like that. Pops, how about your mother? What do you call your mother? And can you imagine going to your grandmother and calling her grandmother, you know, or your grandfather? You do? Dwayne grew up, you know, British as well. Mother and grandma. Okay, well, that's very proper, and nothing wrong with that. It's just kind of awkward to me. I remember, like, we grew up, we called my grandparents grandma and grandpa. And, you know, by the last name then, so you could differentiate which grandma and grandpa. And I used to make fun of the kids that called their grandparents, like, weird names. Anybody else? Like, why would you call your, like, yeah, exactly. So the kids up the road had, like, Mimi and Papa for their grandparents. What is that? And now we refer to our kids' grandparents, my parents, as Grammy and Papa and Jeezy and G-Pa. Or think about when I first met you. I mean, I've met all of you here at one point for the first time. Do you remember when I walked up to you and I shook your hand, I stuck my hand out and said, nice to meet you, I'm the Reverend Kevin Gosser. You remember that? Have I ever called myself Reverend to you? How do I introduce myself? Hi, I'm Kevin. When I started school at Georgetown, it's so weird. I don't think they can dock me if this is online. It's so weird because I've gone to places where you refer to the teacher by first name. In our Mennonite education system, from a certain age up, you refer to that person as, you know, as Paxton, as Hadley, as Sonia, use whatever their first name is. And then I went to other schools where you refer to them as doctor. But when I went to Georgetown, everybody who is a tenured teacher, you refer to them as professor. Uh-huh. Yeah, so it's not even just Dr. Jones or Dr. Williams. It's Professor Williams, Professor Jones. Are we going to study this or are we going to learn that? It sounds so pretentious. It's like, are we reading Harry Potter or something? Like, Professor Jones, will Professor Dumbledore be coming in today? Like, is that so weird? As I think about those titles, those names that we require in some places, like Reverend or Professor, what it does is it separates us all the more. So I, as Reverend, and the holy man, you as you are laity. This person as Professor Jones is the teacher, the learned one. You as the student are just the student. You are the worm, you are learning. There's this separation, this division because of these titles. And the way father has kind of developed in the English language, according to my understanding, is that's also very impersonable. It separates the older generation from the younger generation. But we often use more familiar language, like daddy or Papa or Dad or Grandpa or Jeezy and Jeepa, to kind of break down those divisions. It's more personable, more relatable. So we come to this word Abba in the New Testament. Three times it's found in the New Testament that God is called Abba. And it always says Abba / Pater. Just in case you didn't get it, God's not simply this distant deity. He's also this personable deity, this relatable deity, this present deity. Abba, I say, is the less formal, more personal form of Father. It's like calling someone Dad or Papa. And I remember many years ago, when I was probably just out of high school, I was 18, 19, 20 years old, I went on a retreat with some other young Christians. And there was a time where we gathered together, we had prayer time. And we gathered in this group, and I didn't know anybody else in my group. And there was this young woman. She started praying, and she prayed, Papa God, would you please fill this place with your Spirit? Something like that. She just prayed, Papa God. And when I think about calling God Papa, that feels kind of weird to me. Like, it's not something that I'm comfortable with. I wouldn't lead a prayer like that. But in that moment when she said it, it felt very right, very innocent. Now, somebody else prayed later, and I remember the same thing because I compared them and contrasted them, because that's the way my mind works. Instead of actually concentrating on what we're supposed to be doing, I'm thinking about the way people address God. Same prayer time. Somebody else in the group just used the word Father, but he used it like every other breath. You ever heard people pray like this? You know, Father, I just want to thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us, Father. Father, will you please fill this place with your Spirit? Father, help us to experience you today. And I start like stumbling, like, I think you got his attention. It's all good. But the more I thought about that, the more I reflected upon that, the more I realized God doesn't care what you call him. It's more about how we see God and how we connect with God. So if it's helpful for you to think of God as Papa, if it's helpful for you to think of God as Dad, then by all means, pray to God in that way. Let's look quickly at the scripture for today, or else you're not going to have time for your dads to grill their own meal today. Picked up on that, huh? You asked about Mother's Day, Sarah, don't know. Our first scripture from Mark, it comes from the day when Jesus was arrested. He was handed over, betrayed. So going a little further, he fell to the ground and he prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. So this is Jesus praying. He's praying for God to help him. Again, we talked about these different P's, God the protector, God the provider, God the personable deity. Here he's praying that God would protect him. We know there's more to this story, so God doesn't break this up. But here he is calling out to his dad, calling out to his papa, Abba, Father, help me. Now, something that I realize about this is that Jesus had a special relationship with God. Jesus was uniquely the Son of God. Like, we think about how the Gospel of John lays this out for us. It talks in John 3:16, you know, Jesus is God's one and only Son, our NIV says. Or King James Version, what's the word that's used there? He is God's only begotten Son. Yes, thank you. How many of you are begotten by God? Like, wait a second. No, I'm begotten by Edward. I said that earlier. I'm not begotten of God in the same way. And the old creeds are very intentional in laying out that Jesus is God's only begotten Son. Begotten, not created. Even the Holy Spirit is not begotten of God, because that would make the Holy Spirit and Jesus siblings. The Spirit proceeds from God and the Son. Jesus is eternally begotten. If you want to get into the deep theology, we can do that some other time. But there is something unique in that relationship that we can't even claim. God is uniquely Jesus' Abba. Then we go to the Galatians passage that the Barren Boys read for us. I'll read 4 through 6. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship or daughtership, because you are his sons and daughters. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So since Jesus has been here, because Jesus came to this world, we too can now call ourselves heirs with Christ. We too can now call God our Father. But notice, who here is calling God Abba? It's the Spirit. Let's do one more. The Romans passage, chapter 8, a verse and a half here. The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So we see in these three passages this movement. We have Jesus as uniquely the Son of God. He can call out to God as Abba. We cannot claim that same relationship. We are not begotten of God, but we are adopted by God. We are brought in, and through the Spirit, we too can call God our Father. We too can call God our Dad, our Papa, Abba. In closing today, I just want to say, if you had an awesome dad, let's cheer for that dad right now. If you had an awesome dad, cheer for that dad right now. Yeah, dad. I can see who's cheering and who's not. If you were blessed with an awesome dad, that's amazing. Because realize that not everybody has that. Not everybody had that. Not everybody had a dad who was hardworking, good-looking, and smart. Not everybody had a dad who was always present, who was always loving, always caring. Not everybody had a good example to look up to as they were growing up. So if you had that, you are blessed. There's no better word for it. You are blessed. But realize that if you are in the other side of the equation, if you are someone who had a father who was always absent, who was a jerk, who was, you know, who beat you or verbally abused you in some way, know that our God is not that kind of father. Our God is the perfect father, the one that we look to. Our God is the one who is present, who is active, who is loving. Our God is compassionate, slow to anger, quick to forgive. Our God is just, our God is merciful, our God is righteous, and our God is our friend. So if you have problems with thinking of God as Father, I encourage you to think of God as the perfect Father. And if that's still not enough for you, know that there are almost 900 unique names for God in the Bible. And I encourage you just to pick one and find what works. And I also encourage you to not just stick with one word, to think of your God as Father or to think of your God as love, but to mix it up. There's a reason there's 900 some different words to describe God in their Bible. That's because God is not just one flat dimensional being. God is all of the above. God is present. God is loving. God is holy. God is righteous. Think of those things when you think about God. And men, fathers, mothers, children, women, everybody here, we have the perfect example to look to. And we will never be able to live up to the example that God has provided for us, but that doesn't mean we don't try. My prayer for us all today is that we may be a little more present, a little more active, a little more loving, a little more compassionate, a little slower to anger, a little quicker to forgive, a little more just, a little bit more merciful, a little bit more righteous, and a little better friend. We have an example in God. My prayer is that we can all get a little bit closer today. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for the example that you've given to us. As Jesus refers to you as Father, we pray that you can help us to think of you in the same way, as the perfect Father who has come to be a protector, a provider, and a personable God. Help us, God, to grow closer to you and to allow you to grow closer to us as well. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you will do, and all that you continue to do in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.